Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good morning. Welcome to the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Stogies and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast about the sport that he or she loves the most. We talk a lot about the NFL because this is a football talk show. However, we cover NBA, NCAA men's and women's top 25 basketball, NHL, MLB, NFL, XFL spring football, USFL spring football, business, sports, and entertainment. Stogies and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, WBEST, Chula Vista, California. All right. Time on deck here is 8:06 a.m., and it is 46 degrees and sunny out here. We're in a frost advisory here in San Diego, California, but we're not going to complain, but we will keep a prayer. We'll turn in our heart for all the people on the west, on the east coast and in the southeast while they go through this cruel winter storm that's going on down there. So we're not going to complain about our weather here in San Diego. We just got a little frost advisory, but we're nowhere near in the situation that they are in on the west, on the east coast. The east coast is taking a weather beating. This winter storm is causing a lot of damage back east and in the southeast. But anyway, our topic for today is NBA Wednesday night action recap. The host will debate pro armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of a live global listening audience. Topics to include but not limited to will be Los Angeles Lakers, New Orleans Pelicans, Dallas Mavericks, Denver Nuggets, Philadelphia 76ers, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. The host will cover breaking news and scores from NCAA men's and women's top 25 basketball, NFL, NBA, MLB, and National Hockey League. All right. Let's get off into it, people. If you'd like to call into the show and correct the host of debate, the host, call in 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687, and we'll get you on air. When you call in, just put your hand up in queue, and we'll come to you and just announce your first initial, last initial, and the state you're calling from, state or country that you're calling from, because this is a global show. We try to keep everybody identity discreet on this show, because all we care about is your sports information knowledge. Whether you're debating me or correcting me, that's all we care about, versus anything in your personal life. We don't need to know all that. All right, so with that being said, let's get off into it. They're saying on the monitor, LeBron James had 30 points, eight rebounds, 7 assists this season. That's his average. What's the grade for LeBron's performance this far? Well, the grade for LeBron this far is he is the scoring champion of the NBA. He is the scoring champion, so he got an A+. Doesn't matter if the team is winning or not. LeBron James himself is overachieving. Last night, if I'm correct, they played my beloved Pelicans. I saw the game, but I think I wound up changing the channel after a while because my Pelicans were losing. So I think I wound up changing the channel and kind of got a little upset because we still don't have Zion Williams back for the New Orleans Pelicans. And if you follow the show, you know I love everything Louisiana sports. So we don't have Zion Williamson right now. He's out. We had Brandon Ingram last night. I think he's still trying to get back to tip-top form. But the Lakers, this new revamped Lakers, you know, they just not the same Lakers team that they had previously. They done let some people go, move some pieces around. You know, I think they've gotten a little bit younger. They got a little bit more. They got some more length and. Mo Bamba, adding him to the team as well during the trade week. So they didn't look altogether totally different, but they do look different, and I think that was why, you know, they were able to do what they were doing last night against my Pelicans. I got to get the final score on there because I was kind of disgusted. You want to call in and let me know what it is. I'll find out in a minute when I go to my scores what the final score was and if the Lakers pulled their win off last night. I believe they did because they was up a pretty good bit on my Pelicans. I don't think my Pelicans last night didn't seem to be ready to go ahead on and beat them on their home court. And if I'm remembering right, they were playing in Los Angeles. So, yeah, I think this new look Lakers – they're going to fight all the way up until the end for a play-in tournament spot. Is it possible? I think it is. With the way LeBron James is playing, I think it is. And if AD gets back hot and start putting up 40 points a game, it's going to be some teams in trouble. And right now, I think Anthony Davis is probably about to be geared up to start playing with a chip on his shoulder. I think he's going to gear up to start playing with a chip on his shoulder. Because you know, it's been talks in the media that they're looking at trading him and all this different, all these different things about trading him and everything. So I think AD is about to come back out the All-Star break and start playing with a chip on his shoulder. Be prepared for that. Be prepared for that, people. So, yeah, I think LeBron James right now is playing damn good basketball. I think he's playing damn good basketball, and I think he's got a lot to prove because he focused on getting his scoring title, putting his body through a lot, trying to play, taking the team, putting them on his back. He already got the scoring title accomplished. That's over with. Now I believe he's setting his eyes on staying healthy. You know, we got the All-Star break coming up. So I think LeBron is going to be, you know, he's going to try to probably rehab his body and everything like that during this All-Star break, even if he's taking part in the festivities. I think he's going to probably get that extra rehab in and you know, get his body right so he can make this big push for the second half of the season. So, yeah, they're asking again, what's the grade for LeBron's performance this far? I say an A-plus again. If you want to disagree with me, definitely call in to the show and we'll discuss. But I think he has an A-plus for his performance thus far. Yes, and then that's the Lakers and the Pelicans. Then last night, they saying across the monitor, Kyrie Irving didn't play. Kyrie Irving sat out, back tightness. So the media experts, they're saying that, oh, here we go again. Here we go again. Kyrie Irving doesn't want to play. You know, he's coming with this nonsense again, you know, taking time off, being selfish, thinking about himself instead of thinking about the team. Now, what I'm upset about is the fact that Kyrie Irving didn't play last night because Dallas is a small market community. You had one of the best players in the NBA come to your home court last night in the I think they played in Dallas. Even if they didn't play in Dallas, it doesn't matter. Whether Jokic came to Dallas or whether Dallas came to Denver, either way it go, a star was going to be coming to a small market team. Denver's a small market team. Dallas is a small market team. And so it's like when you get somebody like Kyrie Irving coming to town, you want to see Kyrie play. Yeah, you want to see Luka play, but, you know, they got Kyrie Irving now too, and Kyrie Irving is a star that stays in the spotlight a lot for various reasons, personal stuff off the court and professional stuff on the court. He stays in the spotlight a lot. So, you know, when you get Kyrie Irving, the way he's been shooting the ball lately, you get him to come to town, you want to see him play. At the same time, you know, if depending on where they played at, if Luka came to Dallas, you want to see Kyrie Irving play against Luka and Jamal Murray. So, I mean, when it all comes down to it, at the end of the day, I keep saying this, the stars need to be on the court and the stars need to be available. Especially when you got teams playing in these small markets. Kyrie Irving, I think he let the fans down last night. Even if they played in Dallas, I think they still would be letting his Dallas fans down because they want to see you play against Nikola Jokic. They want to see you play against Jokic. They want to see you play against you and Luka against Jokic and Murray. That's what I said was my Western Conference final. That's my Western Conference final prediction still now, and you kind of robbed us of that preview. I don't know if that was scripted, because maybe he's thinking like I'm thinking, like, well, I don't want to give him too much because I believe that we're gonna be against each other in the Western Conference finals. Now if that's his thinking, I understand it, but I don't agree with it because, like I said, in these small markets, these kids want to see they want to see you, Kyrie. They want to see you play. Hell, I wanted to see you play last night. I don't agree with everything you do off the court. I don't agree with everything you do on the court either, professionally, but it's not my job to judge no other man. That's his life, not mine. I mean, people don't agree with everything I do. But at the same time, you know, I like Kyrie Irving as a ball player. He's an exciting player. And, you know, he's one of them guys that can just take over a quarter. Like the other night when he played, the other night he played, he put up 26 points in the fourth quarter. That's a lot of points for one quarter, for one man. He did it, though. So I'm just excited to see him play. I just, you know, I'm hoping that Kyrie will kind of like look at it, or maybe Mark Cuban will kind of like explain to him, when you're playing, this ain't Brooklyn. You know, you're playing in a small market, and you know, you got to be available. These kids down here in these small markets like Dallas, even though it's a big city down south, the DFW, it's a nice size market. But what I'm saying is it's not New York. It's not L.A. It's not. It's not New York. It's not L.A. I don't even think it's Houston. I think Houston is a bigger, much bigger market than Dallas, the DFW. But you know, when it's time for Kyrie to play, I'm hoping that from this point on, moving forward, he's going to be available unless it's a significant injury, like a tore tendon, like how Steph Curry is hurt right now for Golden State. If it's something like that, hey, I get it. But if it's just some stuff like, oh, okay, well, you know, I tweak my back. You know, I got a tweak back right now from working out. I'm sitting here right now with a heating pad on my back now. But the thing about it is, you know, I had to get up this morning and perform this show. The Late Night Dog had to get up and perform for my audience. I didn't feel like giving it a go today. But my audience, my community depends on me to get up and entertain them, to put on a good product. If they got the energy to tune in, then I need to have the energy to get up and do my job. And don't get me wrong, I ain't trying to judge Kyrie, because sometimes I come short, sometimes I fail. But, you know, at the end of the day, Kyrie gets a whole lot of more zeros on his check than I do. So I think you need to make that extra effort to perform when your team needs you. But we're gonna get off into some box scores on that, because I want to see how many points Jokic put up, Murray put up, and how much my man Luka put up. But I really wish that they only lost that game by 9 points. And I know with Kyrie Irving playing, it would have been a much tighter game. A much tighter game. I see them being an overtime game, but I don't know if they ever playing, if they're gonna play again or not. But that's a matchup I didn't want to miss. But all of a sudden he's out again. Back tightness. Okay. Back tightness. We'll run with it. We'll live with it. We also had I saw last night the Philadelphia 76ers put a beat down on the Cleveland Cavaliers. 76ers and the Cleveland Cavaliers. I forgot what the final score. I pretty much watched all of that one. I do know that the 76ers won that game. I thought the Cleveland Cavaliers played a much better game. I didn't see that fire coming from Donovan Mitchell. I didn't see it. I didn't see that fire coming from him last night when I was watching it. I just didn't see it. I mean, all the other players around him, you know, I mean, they played, but they were down by a significant amount of points. I'm gonna say they was pretty much down by 8 or 9 points most of the time I was watching it, if I'm remembering the game the right way. But I'll get the notes on it. But I did see that game. I think Coach Bickerstaff was trying to employ them earlier in the game. You know, hey, you know, you got guys out on the corners. You're not even finding them. They're wide open on the corners. Find those guys. You know, basically, like, let's play Cleveland Cavaliers basketball. Let's play Cleveland Cavaliers basketball. You know, now we're here playing against the 76ers, James Harden and Joel Embiid. Now all of a sudden we acting like we don't know what we doing. I don't know. Maybe it's the All-Star break with some of these teams. Maybe some of these teams are just like, I don't really care. My effort ain't that spirited, because we know we're gonna go into the break. And maybe that's – I heard the media expert saying something like that last night, saying that some of these guys are just kind of like have a nonchalant attitude going into the All-Star break, because they know they're going in the All-Star weekend. It's time to have some fun, let our hair down a little bit, and just kick back and relax. So we ain't really thinking about this game right here. You know, and if that's the case, if we know across across the league that that's the attitude of most of these guys. Put the scrubs out there. If that's the case, put the scrubs out there. Just like going back to the Dallas game and the Denver game, you know, Dallas and Denver. If you knew that that's the attitude about these players going in the All-Star break, then kind of like already have it put out the, hey, you know, the stars are going to be resting. This is a week going, the week going into the All-Star break, we don't play the stars. So that's what I've been kind of like getting. Just like for the Celtics the other night, they set the starters down. Maybe they're trying to rest the guys up. You know, we're going into All-Star break. We're going to pick and choose the game that we put our starters out there on. But last night was just a game with such play, with a playoff championship magnitude that I just felt like Kyrie Irving should have been out there playing ball. I felt like he should have been out there. But going back to the 76ers and the Cavaliers, maybe the Cavaliers last night was having some type of all-star break letdown. Guys probably just like, man, I'm just ready to get to the break, get this last game over with, a last game or two over with. I could care less if we win or not. We already kind of up. We already know we got the one of the top six spots in the East. You know, we already know we good. So maybe that's what they were. I don't know. But anyway, that's what I saw last night. They're also saying across the monitor right now, going to some NFL topics. Was the Eagles season a success? Super Bowl 57, Chiefs defeat the Eagles 38-35. Was the Eagles season a success? Yeah, the Eagles season was a success. The media experts are questioning that this morning. Yeah, their season was a success. Why would you say it wasn't? I mean, it's only going to be one team win the Super Bowl. I remember Mike Tomlin had said a couple years ago, don't quote me on this, but a few years back, he said that he had been to the Super Bowl X amount of times, and he had been disappointed X amount of times, and he was happy X amount of times. And he made the statement, said, we have to remember going into at the beginning of the season, you have to go into the season understanding that it's only one team that's going to be happy at the end of the season. And that's a true statement. It's only going to be one team out of all the teams in the NFL. It's only going to be one team that's going to be happy at the end of the season. And that doesn't mean the team that's undefeated, the team with the best record, the team with the this, the that. It don't mean that. It just means whoever endured to the end. Kansas City Chiefs endured to the end. But is that to say that the Philadelphia Eagles don't have a good product that they're putting out? It's all about the product that you're putting out for whether you can say it was a successful season or not. And I'll tell you something else too, you know, going back to my degree in fundamentals of global sports management, my certification rather, in the fundamentals of global sports management. I'll say it like this. The team, the people in the front office, they don't judge a team's success by wins and losses, because at any given year, any given season, you could have a losing franchise. You could have a losing franchise at any given time. So I don't think that, you know, I know for a fact that the team is not looking at a success. The front office is not looking at their team's success, is what I'm trying to say. The front office judges the team's success in a season by ticket sales, merch sales, meaning merchandise, vendor sales, season ticket holders, that's a big one, and box suite owners. That's how they judge a team's success. That season ticket holders and box suite sales is big. But you also have ticket sales, merchandise, and the vendor selling food and beer. All that combined is what makes the team successful. Do we have a fan base is what makes the team successful. And, yeah, of course, Philly got a fan base. Matter of fact, a good friend of mine's son, speaking of the Philadelphia Eagles, a really good friend of mine's son, I got to give her a call. Her son He has his own, not suite, but his own restaurant, his own food stand, his own food, not even food stand, but his own food area, you know, where people can walk up at halftime and buy from him. He has his own spot called Chickaboom. Look up Chickaboom on Facebook and Twitter. Chickaboom, C-H-I-K-A, boom, B-O-O-M, where he has this great fried chicken sandwich that he does. And he also has accompanying flavored potato chips to go along with it, like three different styles of potato chips. So big shout out to my good friend, Duyen Hightower. She's on Facebook, Duyen Hightower. She's a good friend of mine from the military. But her son, very smart young man, in his early 30s, he has his own restaurant in the Philadelphia Eagles in their stadium. He has his own food vendor spot. And he's doing very well. So yeah, but what I'm saying is that's all that type of stuff. Excuse me, people. You got a little cough there. Yeah, but he has his own food stand, his own vendor spot. And like, again, it's not a rollaway cart or nothing. He got an actual spot, built-in spot, like on the food row. And I'd say all that to say that that's what the front office is looking at, how many vendors like him are going to come in here and pay rent to sell their merchandise, sell their product or their merchandise or whatever the case may be. That's all that revenue is how they determine a team's overall success. Now, going back to what they're saying on the monitor is like, well, was their season a success as far as the product on the field? That was also great. So the Philadelphia Eagles organization is a win-win slam dunk, because I know their merch sales and everything that I just named went out the roof because they've had the best record in football for a good minute. Coming out of the NFC East, what was the NFC East, they had the best record. The best record for a long time until they got beat by the Washington Redskins. But, you know, they still made it to the Super Bowl. I don't understand the big deal. What's the big deal that they're making over making about all this stuff, though? You know, they're always like, oh, well, the Eagles lost the Super Bowl, so is that it for them? They got a good system. Now, they did take away the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator, so we don't know how it's going to look next year. But what I will say is that they got something on the monitor. We're talking about Paul George. I'll get back to that. They're trying to figure out if Paul George can help bring a chip to the Clippers. They got it up on the monitor saying against Paul odds, meaning like against all odds. I guess they're trying to see what Paul George's thoughts on bringing a championship to my Los Angeles Clippers. Paul George, ring with the Clippers would outweigh one with the Lakers. A ring with the Clippers would outweigh one with the Lakers. That's what Paul George is saying. We'll get back into that in a minute. But anyway, going back to my NFL thought with the Philadelphia Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles, they're going to be replacing their offensive coordinator, which took a job with the Indianapolis Colts as their head coach. Then their defensive coordinator took a job somewhere else. So my whole thing is, when it's all said and done, we don't know what the Eagles are going to look like next year. The Eagles will probably look like, could look like a shell of themselves. Because when you let go, you know, guys that got you to the Super Bowl, you know, then you trying to replace them or move guys up, you may not have the same product on the field. And I just don't want to hear them saying next year, oh, well, it's Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is the problem. He's regressed. He's digressed. You know, he took a step back. No, he's injured. It'll be so many. If they don't win like they did last year, come out there and get that big record and dominate the NFC East, I'm telling you, I feel like that's what these media experts are going to start saying. The fans are going to start saying, oh, step back. And that's not really true. They're changing up the coaching staff. Because these guys are getting these jobs. But like I said yesterday, why don't you just stay there and help build a dynasty? If you're already winning, why is it so important to be a head coach if you're getting paid well as an assistant? Just renegotiate your contract, get paid well as an assistant, and keep building a dynasty. I just don't understand why people want to get away from something that's working. To go somewhere and take a job with a bad team, and then now it's on you to rebuild that team. I don't know. I would have stayed right there. And if I was the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator for the Eagles, I would stay right there and keep building their defense and then keep on making plays for Jalen Hurts. Because Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles really didn't have a reason to lose that game. Jalen Hurts did fumble the ball. The guy got the ball stripped out of his hand. Well, he dropped the ball. And then the Chiefs picked it up and ran in for a touchdown. But I like that Jalen Hurts was off. He went to the sideline and he told his players, he said, "Hey man, that's on me. That me dropping the ball, that's on me. But I'm gonna make it up to you." He got back on the field and took him downfield and scored. He made a mistake and turned right back around and scored again and put him up. Dude had a hell of a game. 4 touchdowns. He threw one and ran 3. He had a hell of a game, people. So I don't understand why on the media, all the media experts are sitting back saying that, they're saying that maybe the Eagles are done. Maybe can they do it? You know, the defense let them down. Jalen Hurts was the only one that played. We got to understand that Super Bowl was a hell of a Super Bowl, and the Eagles were up a lot. Questionable penalty call at the end. Again, I ain't taking nothing away from Patrick Mahomes. I'm a big Patrick Mahomes fan. I forgot he don't like you to call him Pat. That's his father. Patrick Mahomes is what his name, the champ's name is. Patrick Mahomes, I'm a big fan, and he had a hell of a game. And I'm also a little bit biased with Patrick Mahomes because I got my sports business certification from Steinberg Sports, and they do represent Patrick Mahomes right along with Tua Tagovailoa and Jerry Jeudy. So for those of you that work with me and my other business, my education and my knowledge of sports business is vast because I learned from the best, Steinberg Sports. With that being said, so yeah, they're on the monitor right now talking about would a Clippers title mean more than one with the Lakers. And they're saying Paul George's championship with the Clippers 100% I got to put my glasses on. But bottom line is he sounds like he's saying that, you know, winning a ring with the Clippers would mean more to him than with the Lakers. I don't understand the point of even talking about that because I never realized that Paul George is ever playing with the Lakers. I thought he's with Indiana, left Indiana, and moved over to where did he go? To the Oklahoma City, where he's playing with Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony. That was their big three at one time. Then he moved over to the Clippers, acquired him, and then they also acquired Paul George. And I think Paul George and Kawhi Leonard got together and said, "Hey, we're gonna go to LA together." And then they, you know, got out the Oklahoma City contract, and then Kawhi Leonard got out the Toronto contract, and then they wind up in LA with the Clippers, with the other LA team. We all know that the LA Lakers is gonna always run LA. However, right now the Clippers have been the better team. For whatever reason, but as far as marketing purposes go, marketing and media go, LA Lakers always rule basketball in LA, even when they're losing to the Clippers, and it's always going to be that way. That's just pretty much a fact, in my opinion. We're gonna go off into some music mix. Time on deck is 8:35 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 48 degrees Fahrenheit, sunny, frost advisory here in San Diego. And we'll go off into our music mix. We'll be right back. All right. We're back. For those who just tuning in, this is the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, and I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Our topic for today is NBA Wednesday Night Action Recap. The host of the Bay Pro Armchair Quarterbacks regarding the sports they love in front of a live global listening audience. Topics to include but not limited to would be the Los Angeles Lakers. We went over that. New Orleans Pelicans, we covered that. Dallas Mavericks, we covered that. Denver Nuggets, we covered that. Philadelphia 76ers and the Cleveland Cavaliers, we covered that. If you'd like to call in to the show and talk about any of that stuff, call in 515-602-9687. Raise your hand in queue, and then we'll get you on there so you can either correct me on what I'm putting out or debate me on what I'm putting out. But, yeah, this is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and talk about the sports that he or she loves the most. And it doesn't have to be what we're talking about. If you don't understand anything about our topic, you can call in and bring up another sports topic. If we don't know about it, we'll let you teach us about it, and vice versa. If you don't know about what we're talking about, we'll teach you about what we're talking about. And that's why I say this platform is open to other sports like mud wrestling, bare-knuckle boxing, camel racing, dog racing, horse racing, NASCAR, whatever the case may be, pie eating contests, hot dog eating contests, equestrian sports, all that stuff. We cover everything that's considered a sport on the monitor, whether it's a regular sport, which you would consider a national sport like the Big Four in the United States, NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, all that stuff, hockey. We cover all of that stuff, of course, but if it's an Olympic sport or whatever, or even if it's just a sport that's big in your country and need to do it, we don't know nothing about it. Let us know. We'll talk about it. We like to learn on this show. But anyway, we're gonna go off into some scores and breaking news from the NCAA men's and women's top 25 basketball, NFL topics, NBA, MLB, and NHL breaking news and scores. So let's get off into it, people. We're going to start off with college basketball. In NCAA top 25 action, number one, Alabama, was defeated by number 10, Tennessee. Number 10, Tennessee defeats number one, Alabama, 68-59. Then we had number 7, Virginia, winners, 61-58 over Louisville. Number 7, Virginia, winners, 61-58 over Louisville. Then we had number 11, Marquette, winners, 69-68 over number 16, Xavier. Number 11, Marquette, winners, 69-68 over Xavier. We had Northwestern, winners, 64-62 over number 14, Indiana. Northwestern, winners, 64-62 over number 14, Indiana. We also had number 19, Iowa State, winners, 70-59 over number 22, TCU. Again, number 19, Iowa State, winners, 70-59 over TCU. And my hometown college, my adopted hometown college, San Diego State, number 21, San Diego State, winners, 45-43 over Fresno State. Number 21, San Diego State, winners, 45-43 over Fresno State. So that's what we had last night in NCAA men's scores. But let's get off into what we got tonight for the men. Top 25 men's NCAA basketball. See what we got tonight. All right, tonight in action we're going to have Purdue against Maryland. Number 3, Purdue taking on Maryland. Number 2, Houston taking on SMU. Number 26, Florida Atlantic taking on Middle Tennessee. Number 17, St. Mary's taking on San Diego. Number 8, Arizona taking on Utah. We'll have Stanford taking on number 4, UCLA. We'll have number 13, Gonzaga, taking on Loyola Marymount. There's some West Coast Conference play. Gonzaga is 21-5 right now, 10-2 in their conference. So Gonzaga, number 13, taking on Loyola Marymount tonight. Number 4, UCLA, taking on Stanford tonight. Number 8, Arizona taking on Utah. And San Diego taking on number 17, St. Mary's. That's SDU, San Diego University, not the Aztecs. San Diego University Toreros taking on number 17, St. Mary's. There, San Diego is in the West Coast Conference along with St. Mary's, Gonzaga. Then we got Middle Tennessee taking on number 25, Florida Atlantic. And we've got SMU taking on number 2, Houston. And Maryland taking on number 3, Purdue. All right, so that's what we got in NCAA men's action last night. They're saying across the monitor, which NFL team is America's team? Which NFL team is America's team? I have to just say that, you know, America's team is going to always be the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, right after that, I'd say the Patriots. America's team is going to always be the Dallas Cowboys, and right after that, as far as the NFL goes, it'll be right after that because the legacy and the dynasty that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady built up in New England, the next team would be the New England Patriots. And to be honest, when the Patriots were actually winning on their way to becoming a dynasty, I would say that they surpassed the Dallas Cowboys in that era as America's team. I think America's team being the fact that they kind of like sported the red, white, and blue up in New England. They kind of like had the gray, the red, the white, and the blue. I think that they became America's team because everybody, you know, fell in love with Tom Brady, the GOAT, the great one, Tom Brady. Everybody fell in love with him. So that I think that that's what that they kind of like became America's team in that era. But now with Dallas, Dak Prescott, you know, since Dak Prescott came and, you know, replaced Tony Romo, and they brought in Ezekiel Elliott. You know, I think that slowly but surely the Dallas Cowboys over the last, you know, 9-10 years, I'm going to say definitely the last 8 or 9 years since Zeke and Dak been there. I think they've been there about 9 years now. I think that they just they've slowly became America's team again. They've taken, as far as basketball goes, they've slowly taken over as America's team once again. So that's what they were saying across the monitor. Also, they're saying, is LeBron the GOAT over Jordan? Is LeBron the GOAT over Jordan? I don't know why they keep bringing this topic up. Is LeBron the GOAT over Jordan? Michael Jordan is the GOAT, people. When it comes down to getting on the basketball court, don't get me wrong, I like some LeBron James. I like some LeBron James. But my biggest thing is quit comparing him to Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, for those of us that, let's say, for instance, 49-ish, let's say if you're about 45 to 65, Michael Jordan was our era. 45 to 65, Jordan was our guy. I think I'm about right. About 45 years old to 65-year-old, that 20-year age group, 45 to 65, we know Michael Jordan. Outside of that age group, anything 44 down to, let's say, 10 years old or whatever, is LeBron James. 44 to you can go all the way back to the kids, most of these kids that are at least watching basketball right now, is LeBron James. So let 44 down to the level of understanding of basketball, of pro basketball anyway, is going to be LeBron James. Really, it's just two eras. I think that if you look at it, they're both GOATs, and the GOAT conversation is all about eras. Like, you could argue and say in football, okay, people say, well, Tom Brady is the GOAT. Well, who was winning a lot of games before Tom Brady? Who could you really look at and say it before that they had a dynasty? And I guess you could say the Pittsburgh Steelers with Terry Bradshaw. Because I think they won, like, you know, 3 or 4 in a span of less than 10 years. So you could arguably say that, well, Terry Bradshaw won like 3 or 4 titles like that. And then you could say, okay, well, Bradshaw versus Brady, who's the GOAT? In my era, you know who my quarterback was? Terry Bradshaw. with the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's who I knew, Bradshaw. All I used to say, Terry Bradshaw. So when you start looking at the GOAT topic, the real way of asking that question, you got to ask the person in your era, who was the greatest of all time in your era? And I'm going to say quarterback-wise, for me, as a youngster, it was Terry Bradshaw. And then you can move him out the way. Really, I totally forgot all about the 90s Dallas Cowboys. Let's move Terry Bradshaw off the table. Even me growing up as a teenager, the GOAT in my era for football was Troy Aikman. He was the guy to beat, Troy Aikman. And that Dallas Cowboys team, I believe they won 2 under Jimmy Johnson, 1 under Barry Switzer. They won 3. So Terry Bradshaw, he had 3. Part of my growing up as a kid was Bradshaw. Move him out the way, then emerges Troy Aikman. And what it is that who is the most current? Because I could say that, well, hell, Bradshaw and Aikman was good as each other. They both won what, three championships, I believe. Pittsburgh could have won 4, but I think they won both Dallas in the '70s, 3 in the 90s. Dallas Cowboys. Then I'm even skipping over one more. Let's talk about Joe Montana. How many did Montana win for the 49ers with Jerry Rice? I mean, it's just about, you have to ask people who were the GOAT or really the GOATs in your era, because depending on how old you are, like for me, I'm in my late 40s, and it's like, I remember Bradshaw, I remember Montana, I remember Aikman. Those are 3 hell of a quarterbacks, and I think everybody I just mentioned won about 3 championships in their career, 2 to 3 championships. I know Montana won more than one with Jerry Rice. I know he won more than one. You know, then you got players like John Elway, but you couldn't say John was a GOAT. You couldn't say Dan Marino was a GOAT because Dan Marino never won one, and John Elway, he didn't win until I think he finally got 2. You think he got 2 of them. And he didn't get those till like late, right before he was about to retire, when he was kind of like, not, in my opinion, he was John Elway, but he wasn't that young John Elway, that gunslinger that he was when he was younger. He was winning, don't get me wrong, but I remember when he was just winning off of his arm. But then when he won those last 2, I think he had touchdown Terrell Davis. Prior to Lincoln High School here in San Diego, touchdown Terrell Davis at running back. And then he also had Mike Anderson at running back when Terrell Davis moved on. And so, and I think he won one with each one of those running backs, if I'm correct. Speaking of Mike Anderson, people that don't know much about him taking an untraditional route, Mike Anderson, and I'll look this up to make sure I'm factual. Mike Anderson never played football in high school. He was in the band in high school. He joined the Marine Corps. He was out here at Camp Pendleton, out here where I'm in California, San Diego, Camp Pendleton, California. He played football on the Marine Corps base for the Marine Corps team, one of the good Marine Corps teams that we had on Camp Pendleton. He got out of the military, and I don't think he went to college. I think what he did was he went and did a workout for somebody, got hooked up, somebody knew somebody, done a workout, and he got signed by the Denver Broncos. Next thing you know, he's starting running back for the Denver Broncos, playing with John Elway, if I'm correct. I think they still had Elway when Mike Anderson was running the ball. I don't know if Terrell Davis had got hurt or whatever, but I know Mike Anderson stepped up and took over the running back duties. But the thing about it was, he took a very non-traditional route. So I try to tell people, all you street free agents out there, whether you was whether you are a 2022 current street free agent that's just a year removed from college, or whether you just played your last college game this past season, and you're looking to go into NFL camp in the summertime, it's ways to get there. You just got to be take the steps. All routes to the NFL, all routes to that bag are not traditional. And I brought that up about Mike Anderson because he did not have a traditional route to the National Football League. Look him up and look up his stories. And if I'm saying anything wrong, definitely call into the show and correct me at 515-602-9687. We're going to go off into another music break here real quick so Late Night Dog can get some coffee and some water. And we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
AKA the late night dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer radio show. Stokers and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast about the sport that he or she loves the most. We're going to get off into some NCAA women's basketball scores. Let's see how the women did last night. We'll see how the women did last night. Want to make sure I'm covering everybody's sport. The big four major sports in America. I want to make sure we get our college stuff in too, though. We had number six UConn winners, 62-60 over Creighton. Number six UConn winners, 62-60 over Creighton. We had number 14 Villanova winners, 73-57 over St. John's. Number 14 Villanova winners, 73-57 over St. John's. We had number 15, Oklahoma winners, 84-57 over Texas Tech. Number 15, Oklahoma winners, 84-57 over Texas Tech. And we had number 7, Iowa winners, 91-61 over Wisconsin. Again, number 7, Iowa winners, 91-61 over Wisconsin in NCAA Women's Top 25 action. Let's see who we got tonight for the women's, who's playing on tonight. We're going to have tonight in women's college basketball top 25 action tonight. We got Syracuse taking on number 24 Florida. We got Florida taking on number 1 South Carolina. Good luck with that, Florida. We're going to take we got number 9 Duke taking on number 11 Virginia Tech. We got Louisville taking on number 10 Notre Dame. We have number 13 Ohio State in action against Penn State. We have number 19, North Carolina in action against North Carolina State in NCAA Women's Basketball Top 25 action. We have number 12, Michigan taking on number 2, Indiana. Oh, Indiana's number 2. Number 12, Michigan taking on number 2, Indiana. And we have Ole Miss taking on number 5, LSU. Ole Miss taking on number 5, LSU, and they'll be playing in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Good luck, LSU. Everybody know that listen to the show. I'm all things Louisiana sports. And we have Pacific taking on number 20, Gonzaga. Pacific taking on number 20, Gonzaga. It'll be interesting to see how far the Gonzaga women go this year because the men are always ranked. It'll be interesting to see how far the Gonzaga women go. Funny story about the Gonzaga women's basketball team. I used to work in security and like high-end hotel security, and Gonzaga would frequent the hotel that I worked at. I was able to meet the women's basketball coach, and he actually gave me his business card because I had a couple girls that I was looking at. Well, I had one high school girl that I had been in communication with over social media, and I was trying to get in touch with, you know, trying to work with her and her parents and her coaches on getting her an opportunity to come out to Gonzaga versus going to some of these little small Division II or NAIA schools. I was trying to have him look at her to see if she was good enough to come to Gonzaga because she was a pretty good point guard. But I actually gave him her information and everything like that so he could reach out to her. I don't know what happened with it because I tried to follow up with the young lady about it, but I think she wound up going to a school probably closer to home or whatever. And stuff like that, you know, because you got to figure, you know, it's not just talent when you're trying to go to college. Yes, you got to have the grades. You got to have the SAT, ACT scores to get to a program like Gonzaga. Nevertheless, I did present her to the Gonzaga women's basketball coach. So when a lot of times when people say that, Ramiro Ferran, you just about your money. I've done a whole lot of things for a whole lot of people for free. I've done a whole lot of things for people behind the scenes that they probably didn't even know I was doing. And so it's like, you know, it's not about always looking for a free opportunity in life. Sometimes you got to put a little skin in the game to get where you're trying to go. And a professional like myself, who's very knowledgeable in what I do when it comes down to managing athletes and getting them opportunities to continue their career, I specialize in doing that. Anyway, going back to my scores, also in action tonight for NCAA women's basketball, we have San Jose State taking on number 23, UNLV. Again, UNLV, number 23, UNLV taking on San Jose State in Mountain West action. Number 20, Gonzaga taking on Pacific in West Coast Conference action for NCAA women's top 25 basketball. Number 5, LSU taking on Ole Miss in SEC action. Number 2, Indiana, taking on number 12, Michigan in Big Ten action. And we got North Carolina State taking on number 19, North Carolina in ACC action for women's top 25 basketball. We got Penn State taking on number 13, Ohio State in Big Ten action. What else we got? We have number 10, Notre Dame, taking on Louisville in ACC action. We have number 11, Virginia Tech, taking on number 9, Duke in ACC action. And we have number 1, South Carolina, taking on Florida in SEC action. Again, good luck, Florida, because that's a tall task. South Carolina is 25-0, 12-0 in the SEC. Don Staley got that team ready, poised for another championship. Then we got number 24, Florida State, taking on Syracuse in ACC action. All right, that's it for our women's college basketball scores. Let's go off into some NHL scores, see what we got from last night. All right. Maple Leafs winners, 5-2 over the Chicago Blackhawks in NHL action. We have Coyotes winners, 1-0 over the Tampa Bay Lightning. We have the Red Wings winners, 5-4 over the Oilers. We have the Avalanche winners, 3-2 over the Wild. Avalanche winners, 3-2 over the Wild. We have Sabres winners, 7-3 over the Ducks. We have Rangers winners, 6-4 over the Canucks. All right, let's see what we got in hockey tonight, NHL action tonight. We got National Hockey League action tonight on the monitor. Tonight, we're going to have the Canadiens against the Hurricanes tonight. We're going to have the Jets against the Blue Jackets tonight. We'll have the Panthers against the Capitals tonight. We'll have the Bruins against the Predators tonight. We'll have the Red Wings against the Flames. We'll have the Devils against the Blues. We'll have the Flyers against the Kraken. And we'll have the Sharks against the Golden Knights. Again, we have the Golden Knights against the Sharks tonight in NHL action. We'll have the Kraken against the Flyers tonight. We'll have the Blues against the Devils tonight. We'll have the Flames against the Red Wings tonight. We'll have the Predators against the Bruins in NHL action tonight. We'll have the Capitals in action against the Panthers tonight. The Blue Jackets against the Jets tonight. And I think they were saying across the monitor yesterday that the Blue Jackets are poised to get, because they're 16-34 currently, so they're not doing that well, 11-17 at home. So look like they're going to be getting they're going to be high in the draft lottery to get this top draft pick. They got this big-time hockey draft guy that's entering into the draft for the National Hockey League, big-time prospect. They're thinking that the Blue Jackets got a good chance of landing a good spot in the draft lottery to pick this guy up. I don't know his name. I forgot his name, but they mentioned him yesterday saying that they're comparing him to a legend in hockey, and they say he's going to be that next legendary type of player. But also in NHL action tonight, the last one I'm going to shout out is the Hurricanes taking on the Canadiens. The Hurricanes taking on the Canadiens tonight in NHL action. All right. Going to my NBA scores. It's basketball time, so I got to make sure that I get all my basketball scores out. But in action tonight, we'll go over who's playing tonight. They start in action at 4:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on where I'm at, down to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So that'll be 7:30 p.m. East Coast time and to 10 p.m. East Coast time. That's the action block that I have. You can check your local listings and your media outlets on times of tip off and the stations that'll be covering the games. But this game of the Bucks and the Bulls will be on one of the main media outlets tonight, nationally televised. The Bucks and the Bulls in action tonight. The Wizards and the Timberwolves in action tonight. And a good one, the Clippers and the Suns. I'll be tuning in for that one, because everybody that listens to the show know I love everything San Diego. So the Clippers came from here and went to L.A., but I still follow them. So we got the L.A. Clippers and the Phoenix Suns tonight on the one of the main media outlets tonight. That's going to be a nationally televised game. We got Paul George currently 23-6-5. And then they got Devin Booker currently 26-4-5 currently. So I don't know if KD is playing in that one, because, you know, I'm kind of confused on how all these teams, what they're going to do with their starters. But the simple fact that it's All-Star break, so I don't really know what these teams are planning to do with their starters, if they resting everybody or whatever. But see, this is what I'm talking about with these games. You know, when you got these mega games like this, the Phoenix Suns, who just added Kevin Durant, the L.A. Clippers, who just got some key pieces. Like they picked up Bones Highland. You know, you got these teams have revamped after the trade deadline. So it's a lot of games that's going on that have playoff implications. But if you sitting people down, resting people and stuff like that, because y'all going into the All-Star break, these are significant games. Even without the trades being made, you know that the Clippers and the Suns, that's a big game. So why schedule that close to the All-Star break? You know, most guys, you know, they're kind of like packing it in for the next week or two. I don't know. It just, you know, I don't think that some of these games, these big games, should be played so close to the All-Star break, because people want to sit down, people want to rest their guys. And the Clippers and the Suns, that's definitely, I think the Clippers are right now number five in the West. I don't know what the Phoenix Suns are. They may be above five or right below five. I don't know. But that's definitely a game with playoff implications. But I'll be tuned in. Other nationally televised game tonight, the Bucks and the Bulls. Good luck, Bulls. It's sitting at 26-32, taking on the 40-17 Milwaukee Bucks. Good luck. I think Giannis is going to do what he do. Giannis is putting up 32-12-5, and DeRozan currently 25-4-5. You know, I don't think they got enough power to take do anything with the Bucks. But in last night's NBA action on the scoreboard, I want to go over my NBA scores from last night. The Charlotte Hornets were winners. 120-110 over the Spurs. Charlotte Hornets, winners, 120-110 over the San Antonio Spurs. The Indiana Pacers, winners, 117-113 over the Chicago Bulls. Indiana Pacers, winners, 117-113 over the Chicago Bulls. What else we got? The Philadelphia 76ers, winners, 118-112 over the Cleveland Cavaliers. Philadelphia 76ers, winners, 118-112 over the Cleveland Cavaliers. I saw that game last night. We had Joel Embiid, 29 points, 14 rebounds. Donovan Mitchell had 33 points. I think it took Donovan Mitchell a little while to get heated up, though. We had the New York Knicks, winners, 122-101 over the Atlanta Hawks. Knicks, winners, 122-101 over the Atlanta Hawks. Jalen Brunson had 28 points, 9 rebounds. And Hunter for the Hawks had 20 points. Hunter for the Hawks had 20 points. What else we got? We had the Boston Celtics winners, 127-109 over the Detroit Pistons. Boston Celtics winners, 127-109 over the Detroit Pistons. Tatum had 38 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 38-9-7. Bogdanovich had 28 points for the Pistons. All right, we had also Brooklyn Nets winners, 116-105 over the Miami Heat. Again, Brooklyn Nets winners, 116-105 over the Miami Heat. Mikal Bridges had 45 points, 8 rebounds. He got traded over there and looked like he's going to be the man over there in the net for the Nets. 45 points, 8 rebounds, 45-8. And then Bam Adebayo had 24 points, 13 rebounds, 6 assists, 24-13-6 for Bam Adebayo. We had the Memphis Grizzlies winners, 117-111 over the Utah Jazz. Memphis Grizzlies winners, 117-111 over the Utah Jazz. And we had, and for the Grizzlies, Jackson was the high man, 26 points, 9 rebounds, 5 steals. Jackson for the Grizzlies, 26 points, 9 rebounds, 5 steals. I don't know where John Morant was in that one. And for the Utah Jazz, we had Olynyk, 28 points, 44 rebounds, 6 assists, 28 points, 14 rebounds, 6 assists. Also, we had... The Oklahoma City Thunder, 133, winners, 133-96 over the Houston Rockets. We had the Oklahoma City Thunder, winners, 133-96 over the Houston Rockets. And we had, what do we have for that game? We had SGA. SGA had 29 points and that was 6 assists. SGA had 29 points, 6 assists. Okay, we had, We had NBA action last night, the game I talked about earlier, the Denver Nuggets, 118, Dallas Mavericks, 109. Denver Nuggets defeated the Dallas Mavericks, 118-109. And we had Jokic for Denver, had 14 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists. Jokic went 14-13-10. And Luka Doncic had 37 points, 9 assists, 4 steals. Luka Doncic went 37-9-4. Again, Nuggets, winners, 118-109 over the Dallas Mavericks. And remember, I was saying that, here we go, had a game with Western Conference Championship implications, and Kyrie Irving sent that one out last night with back tightness. I don't know what that was all about. I'm hoping that this is not going to be a recurrent, theme with Kyrie Irving. While he's in Dallas, I'm hoping that the fans don't get cheated. But Anyway, the last score I have is for NBA action from last night is the LA Lakers winners, 120 to 102 over the New Orleans Pelicans. LA Lakers winners, 120 to 102 over the New Orleans Pelicans. Anthony Davis had 28 points, 10 rebounds. Again, Anthony Davis, 28 points, 10 rebounds. And C.J. McCollough, 22 points, 6 rebounds, 9 assists. C.J. McCollough went 22, 6, and 9. Again, the Lakers with the win, 120 over 102. 120, 102 over the New Orleans Pelicans. New Orleans Pelicans, you know, we got to get it together because we don't have Zion Williamson and C.J. McCollough. I like C.J., but I just don't think he's the leader type. He's a solid player. But he is part of our big three. But it's like, I don't see him. We got to get healthy. We got to get Ing back going. We got to get Zion back. Because, I mean, you know, when it comes down to it, we need those guys along with C.J. McCollough to basically give us a good push through the playoffs. I don't think we're a championship team this year, although we have been ranked number one in the West a couple times. But without Zion is just, people just don't understand how good that guy is. Zion Williamson is a game changer, people. And I'm not willing to move off of him right now. I think we got to at least give Zion another 2 years, and hopefully we can keep him healthy for another 2 years and really take a look at and really sit back and evaluate how valuable or what's his value to this team. Right now, I say he has high value, injury prone for whatever reason, but he has high value because when he's playing, he's a game changer. Anyway, that was our NBA scores from last night. Big winners last night. The Lakers in the big one, 120 to 102 over the New Orleans Pelicans. Again, Anthony Davis had 28 points, 10 rebounds in that one. AD, once he gets back to putting up 40 points, people better look out once he gets himself together. New York Knicks, big win. 122 over the Hawks, 101. Knicks 122. Winners over the Hawks, 101. So again, the New York Knicks took care of business last night, 122 to 101 over the Hawks. Jalen Brunson had 29 points, 9 rebounds. And last night, the 76ers defeated the Cleveland Cavaliers, 118 to 112, 118 to 112. Donovan Mitchell, 33 points. Joel Embiid, 29 points, 14 rebounds. So big win last night for the 76ers over the Cavaliers. And in the basement battle, we had the Charlotte Hornets, 120, over the San Antonio Spurs, 110. LaMelo Ball had 28 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists. So LaMelo Ball went 28, 12, and 10. And then Branham for the Spurs had 23 points, 6 rebounds. But good numbers for LaMelo Ball, 28, 12, and 10. Big win for the Charlotte Hornets, 120 to 110 over the San Antonio Spurs in a basement battle. That was a basement battle. But good numbers for LaMelo Ball. All right, so we're done with all our scores and everything. We pretty much went over everything when it comes down to our topic. We've been over the everything breaking news and stuff, all the breaking news that I have. On the monitor, they got that the Washington Commanders in NFL news are interviewing Chiefs Eric Bieniemy for the offensive coordinator job, and they're asking if we're shocked if Bieniemy leaves Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. Yes, I am shocked because, again, when you're building a dynasty, you continue to build a dynasty. You can never have too many championships. If I'm going to be coaching, I'd rather be winning than going somewhere taking over a team that's not that good. What can he do in what can Eric Bieniemy do in Washington? They don't have a quarterback. They got a struggling Carson Wentz and a couple other quarterbacks up, but one or two quarterbacks up under him that are, you know, in my opinion, mediocre at best. They have their moments, but at best they're mediocre quarterbacks that was good enough to just make an NFL roster. I don't see a reason why Eric Bieniemy should be trying to fight his way to be an OC for somebody else when you're working for the best offensive mind in football, which is Coach Reed, Andy Reed. So I'm just sitting here like, it doesn't make any sense. Makes no sense. Again, Commanders are interviewing the Chiefs offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy, for the OC job. Are we shocked if Aaron Bieniemy leaves Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City? Hell yes. Heck yes, I'm shocked. Excuse me. I don't like to curse on my show, but heck yeah, we're shocked. I don't think that's a good move for Aaron Bieniemy at all. I'm going to be honest. I don't think it's a good move for Aaron Bieniemy at all. Let's see what else we got across the monitor. I'll check back in a minute. Just trying to check the monitor to see if there's anything else I need to share with you guys before I get up out of here. The situation, like I'm sitting there saying with Aaron Bieniemy is that when these guys keep getting passed over for jobs in the African American community, it makes them start thinking like, well, will I ever be the man? Will I ever get credit for doing what I'm doing? So I'm going to assume, I'm not going to say that I'm correct, but I'm going to assume that in Eric Bieniemy's mind, it's probably like this. Because if I was Eric Bieniemy, I'd probably be thinking the same thing. I can't get any credit for the role that I play in this offense when it comes down to drawing up plays, making game plan, game scheming, and everything like that, as long as I'm working in the shadow of Andy Reid. He can look at it like that because that's what the media experts are saying. The media experts are saying that, well, Eric Bieniemy, you know, we really don't know what he's doing because Andy Reid draws up a lot of plays. That's all he do is sit back and draw up plays and watch film. So they're looking at it like, well, Eric Bieniemy is just basically like a learning on the job. Like he's just an understudy. He's not making up plays. He's not watching the film. He's not breaking down defenses and putting in offensive plays to attack the other team's defense. They're not looking at it like that in the media. And these different teams that are doing these front offices for different teams, they're looking at it like, oh, well, that's just Andy Reid's work. So we're not going to hire in Eric Bieniemy to be the head coach because we don't know what he can do. But to rebuttal that, the media experts were also saying that other non-African-American coaches that had not been a play caller, that had not called their own plays and was just a coordinator, they got head coaching jobs. So it's like Eric Bieniemy. They're looking at him like, well, Andy Reid is such a brilliant offensive mind. We don't really know what Eric Bieniemy can do. So now it's like they're pushing Eric Bieniemy to take a job with a bad team in the NFC East, which is the Washington Commanders, who finished last. They could have been a better team this year, to be honest, but they dropped some key games, which kept them out of the playoffs. But I think everybody in the NFC East had a chance to make it to the playoffs, to make it to postseason, but the Commanders fell short. But I don't see Eric Bieniemy doing himself any justice by going over there to take over a struggling team. I don't see that as an upgrade for his resume to go over there and take over a team that don't even have a quarterback. If I'm Eric Bieniemy, I'm going to just keep coaching and stay over there with the dynasty. Stay over there with Chiefs Kingdom. Stay there. Pay him some more money and keep him there. Because let's be honest, one day Andy Reid going to have to retire, and he's going to have to give the reins up to somebody else. But it's just like, what does patience look like for Eric Bieniemy? Does he have the patience to say, I'm going to stay here and just wait till Andy retires? I mean, I would, me myself. Eric Bieniemy is obviously significantly younger than Andy Reid. So the odds of Andy Reid coaching any more than another 6-7 years, can Eric Bieniemy withstand another 6 or 7 years of building a dynasty and taking over at the helm? I think he can, and I think he should, to be honest. I don't think he's missing any meals. I don't think he's not able to pay his rent and his bills. I don't really see why he would leave Chiefs Kingdom. I really don't. But I hate the man that's going through that again. We have an African-American coach dilemma, and I can say this definitely because it's Afro-American History Month, and we do have an African-American coaching dilemma in the National Football League. And I think that they are being unfair to Eric Bieniemy, but the problem is with that is that they're gonna keep this pressure on this man to prove himself, get out of Andy Reid's shadow and come over here and prove himself. And as soon as he goes over to Washington, which has no quarterback, as soon as he goes over there and he's on the losing team, guess what the first thing that's gonna come out the media expert's mouth and all the fans' mouth, guess what they're going to say? Oh, this guy, he don't need no head coaching job. He's garbage. He can't even get the Washington Commanders to win. Well, he's going over there without a quarterback. They don't have a quarterback there. They got Carson Wentz, but I don't know what's going on with Carson Wentz, why he can't play up to his standard like he did when he came out of North Dakota State the first year he came into the league, first and second year. I don't know what's going on with Carson Wentz. Maybe he just got complacent. Maybe like I got my money, I got my bag, and I'm gonna play hard, but I'm not gonna make the adjustments. I'm gonna give him what I give him. It is what it is. I don't know why Carson Wentz can't win, because I feel like Eric Bieniemy with Carson Wentz, they should be a winner. Carson Wentz, he'll show up and he'll burn you one game, and then he'll be bad the next two games. Then he'll come back and burn you for a game or two. I mean, I don't know why he can't stay consistent, but I know that Eric Bieniemy is not the answer to that problem. He's not the solution to that problem. Trust me, he's not, in my opinion. He's going to go over there and he's going to make himself look bad. He's going to make himself look bad, going to that team. I will stay right there at Chiefs Kingdom. Eric Bieniemy, if you're listening to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, stay in Chiefs Kingdom. Stay right there in the shadow of Andy Reid. And keep getting dynasties, and then when it's your time, it'll be your time. Or stay there long enough to take a job that got a quarterback. I wouldn't go to a team without a quarterback. I wouldn't go to a rebuilding team, because what's going to happen is you'll get over there and you're going to look bad, like they say in the media. Some of the media experts that we all know, one of the media experts that we all know, always says that when the black coach gets the job, it's usually to one of the teams that are garbage. He's not going to go to a red situation, a built team, a good team that has a quarterback, that has a defense, has a good offense. A team that got cap space to get key veteran free agents. Usually when the black coach gets it, the team gets a head coaching job or a high-level offensive coordinator job, it's going to be a team that over the salary cap, so they can't sign anybody, doesn't have a quarterback, and has probably gave up all their draft picks to move up to get anybody. So they're probably already in debt to a bunch of teams to get a quarterback. They're already in debt with a bunch of teams that because they were trying to get a quarterback that didn't pan out. So they got a garbage quarterback now, and they gave up all their draft picks, so you can't get nobody else. The front office is in shambles. It's always a scenario like that when a lot of these black coaches, African-American coaches, get a head coaching job or an offense coordinator job. And I think that that's the stigma. And right now, that's what they're setting up Eric Bieniemy to be a part of, to go over to a team that right now has no quarterback, front office is in shambles, okay? And that's what they're trying to interview this man for, a team like that. Eric Bieniemy, stay in Kansas City, please. And keep building Chiefs Kingdom. Moving from that, trying to see what else we got in the monitor before I get off into some street creating stuff. Nothing right now, but I'll take a minute at the 9:34 mark, at 34 minutes into the second hour. I marked it at 35 minutes into the second hour. We got the XFL coming up this weekend, people. If you're a street free agent that is 1 year removed from school, meaning 2022, current street free agent, and for all my NFL 2023 camp hopefuls that are soon to be street free agents after the NFL draft is over, We got the XFL coming up this weekend. I put out a video yesterday titled, "What the Hell Are You Doing?" What I meant by "What the Hell Are You Doing?" was just simple as that. What the hell are you doing? Why are you sitting back? Why are you sitting back waiting on opportunities to, why are you sitting back waiting on opportunities for, waiting on opportunities for somebody to call you with the NFL roster spot? If you went to a small school, NAIA school, which is considered the smallest schools, NAIA schools, and then you, if you went to NCAA, FCS, Division I, HBCU school, went to a NCAA Division II HBCU school, or even Division II in general, but definitely Division II HBCU schools, but NCAA Division II to include HBCUs, HBCU schools, meaning like if you played in the SIAC, Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, or you played in the CIAA, Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association, you know, you're going to have a problem getting an opportunity. If you played at an NCAA Division III school, you're going to have a problem getting an opportunity. Again, if you played at NCAA Division II, Division III, NAIA schools, and FCS, Division I HBCU historical black colleges and universities at the Division I level, those are all considered small schools. If you're playing at those type of programs, you're going to have a hard time getting an opportunity. Yes, you are. Some of you guys are sitting at home. Y'all been sitting at home for a year since y'all graduated last year or finished playing last year in college. You've been sitting at home all this time waiting on an opportunity. And that's the key word, waiting on an opportunity. Some of you have tried out for the XFL. Again, XFL, USFL, these leagues pay a pretty decent bag of money. And for to get that bag of money, you got to be good. But sometimes y'all resume don't speak to being a qualifier to make that money right off the bat. So you might need to start off in Champions Indoor Football League, which is a form of indoor football, or you go to the IFL Indoor Football League, which is the highest level of indoor football. Indoor football meaning they play arena-style ball, but they use a traditional running back. Moving on across from that, you got the National Arena League. Their model is pretty much modeled after the original AFL Arena One that used to be on TV. The NAL plays with a non-traditional running back. They use a big fullback in goal line situations. They use a big offensive lineman as their fullback in goal line situations. They don't use a traditional running back, so it is a passing lead, pretty much a passing lead. Those are the three options that you have that you need to take to work in my prove it system. I'll have you play again in the Champions Indoor Football League, the Indoor Football League, IFL, the National Arena League, NAL. Those are the three current options right now in the springtime. When fan control football comes back, they were going to start in the spring, but they're going to move their platform to the fall. I don't know how that's going to work, but right now that's not a current option. The American Arena League, they're due to launch back up next year in 2024. They're coming back, American Arena League, AAL. Also, the AFL, I was just talking about Arena One, AFL, they'll be coming back in 2024 as well. So those will be two more opportunities for next spring. But this spring, I have opportunities in the Champions Indoor Football League. I have opportunities in the Indoor Football League and opportunities in the National Arena League. I currently have two guys signed to a team in the Champions Indoor Football League with the Billings Outlaws. That's a playoff team. They'll be gearing up to go back to the playoffs this year. I have one college rookie signed to go to them after he graduates in May. He'll be joining the team. I have another free agent out of Central State University. He'll be joining the team in a couple days, February 20th. He'll be down in Billings, Montana to work in my prove it system. And I have a veteran from the Indoor Football League, a vet outside vet linebacker slash safety, a hybrid player that's going to be moving on from the IFL going over to the NAL. From the IFL to the NAL, we're going to make a lateral move so he can show what he can do more in coverage versus than just making tackles in the Indoor Football League. See, that's the management that you get with me. See, this veteran that I'm talking about, he could have said, well, man, I'm already playing in the IFL, and I've done this, I've done that, but what I told my vet is this. I said, the questions that the NFL had about you was, how do you look in coverage? In the Indoor Football League, you're making a lot of tackles because they do a lot of run-pass option with their quarterback. Their quarterback is the second running back. So when it comes down to it, there's not a lot of passing going on there for my vet client to drop back in coverage. They don't do enough passing there. They pass, but they don't do enough of it for him to prove that he's great in coverage. So under good management, what did I tell him? I said, we need to move you over to the National Arena League, so you can work with this coach over there that played in the NFL, and he knows what it takes to be in the NFL. He'll coach you up, and then you'll have more opportunities to drop back in coverage because of what they do in the National Arena League, they pass the ball. So you have to drop back in coverage. So that clears up any questions that the NFL had for him since he's been trying to get into the league. And a good player. He went to Hub Camp. He's done the CFL workout. He was being looked at by different scouts from the NFL, but like you said, on the depth chart, they had other people ahead of him because at his college he played at, they had him basically playing a lot of linebacker, outside linebacker and whatnot. So he needed to get into a league to show that he could drop back in coverage and cover the wide receivers. So that's why I moved him over. That's what good management does. Good management identifies a player's issue. Even though this guy was already playing professional football in the Indoor Football League, Indoor Football League is the partner of the XFL. Their partner is their minor league. I moved him from, I could have said, yeah, man, go ahead and stay there. And I would have said stay there if we couldn't find another opportunity. I said, let me try to get you over to the National Arena League so we can answer some of the questions that they have about your playing ability. He listened, and he moved over. Not only did he listen, he also paid his service fee to stay vested with me and be in my network moving forward. Like I said, in my network, I don't only just have opportunities for you while you're playing. I have opportunities for you after you get done playing. If I don't have opportunities, I'll find opportunities for you because you've invested your money in me. And when you invest your money into my company to be in my network, I'm always walk lockstep with you. As I move up, you move up. But a lot of you street free agents don't understand that. And I like this, and I like my vet coming out of the IFL from the Iowa Barnstormers moving over to the NAL. I like him because he could have looked at it like, well, man, you know, I'm already playing pro, and all you're doing is putting me into another league, you know, that's, you know, pretty much the same pay and the same opportunity. But he was able to listen to me and say, what are the scouts saying to you? If the scouts are telling you you don't have enough film covering wide receivers, that's why you're not in the NFL, then we need to fix that. So move over to this other league that's going to give us that film. Will it work when you get to the NFL? I don't know. Because no management company, agency, no manager, no agent can promise you they're going to get you to the NFL. It doesn't work like that. Your talent is what is going to have to stand out. What's going to have to pop? Your resume, your talent on film is going to have to pop out to these different scouts and general managers. And coaches, it's going to have to pop out to them. I don't promise guys, oh, man, I'm going to get you to the NFL. I promise you I'm going to provide the steps for you to take to put you in the best light we can put you at to greater your possibilities of getting to the NFL. But this is the way I look at life. Losers and winners. Losers say it's probable, but it's difficult. Winners say it's difficult, but it's possible. Always have a winning attitude to say it's difficult, sure to get to the NFL. But is it possible? Yes, it's possible. I gave you guys an example of Mike Anderson. Guy never played football in high school. He was in the band. Joined the Marine Corps. Decided to go out and play football for one of the Marine Corps teams on base, semi-pro. We have a good semi-pro system up at Camp Pendleton to where, you know, the Marines that are on that base, they play a lot of the different junior colleges and stuff in the area. He joined and he's playing on one of the teams. And I think that's one of our infantry units. Got a football team up there, one of the infantry units, meaning the ground pounders, the guys that fight in the war with the guns. They got a football team up there as well. And when I was there, they was a championship team. That's the team that Mike Anderson was on, if I'm correct. I can't remember what battalion that was that had that good football team out there at the time. But Mike Anderson came out of that system, got out the Marine Corps, got a workout with the Denver Broncos. Next thing you know, he's taking over the running back duties from Terrell Davis. You know, playing out there with John Elway. Non-traditional route, people. This man learned how to play football in the Marine Corps. I ain't say college. I say he learned in the Marine Corps. Okay? So I'm just talking to you a little bit about non-traditional routes. If you are a current 2022 street free agent that's no more than a year removed away from college, meaning you got done playing football last season and didn't get an opportunity to get an NFL camp contract, I'm here for you. If you just played your last football game in college this past season, I'm here for you. If you're trying to get an opportunity to get into an NFL camp in the summertime, I'll put you in my Prove It system. My Prove It system consists of the following. I'm going to help you build up your package, which consists of your film, your resume, your highlights, and your photos. Once everything is set up, it'll have in the subject line of the email, it'll be your name, your position, your college. Dropping down from that, you'll put up your stats and awards and your measurables, meaning height, weight, 40-yard dash time, reps on 225 pounds, age, date of birth, again, stats and awards that you have. And then down below that, it'll be your bio, a two-paragraph bio, meaning what was your story coming out of high school to college to pro, meaning why didn't you go to a Division I college? What was the reason why you went to a small school? Moving across from that. What was the reason coming out of college why you didn't have any NFL scouts looking at you? Why didn't you do a pro day? Why didn't you get a recent Senior Bowl invite, such and such and such and such? Meaning, why coming out of college were you not a highly sought athlete? Why was pro football focus not writing about you? Why was pro football focus not writing about your program? All those type of things will be included in your two-paragraph bio. Right up under that, you'll have two full game films and a highlight clip. Preferably all those links for your two full game films and your highlight clip will be on a YouTube link. You can submit a huddle, but I prefer it to be on YouTube because you can keep YouTube. Huddle links expire sometime when the coaches make room for other kids coming in. I think those systems only hold so much film. So after you graduate, they usually data dump that stuff. So if I'm shopping after film, it'll be a huddle link that's deleted. So that's why I recommend you to convert your film to YouTube as soon as possible. And then you need two full games, and a highlight clip. Your highlight clip should be no more than 4 minutes long. You'll have to submit two photos, one headshot with your jersey on, one headshot with, meaning without helmet, one headshot with your jersey, polo, blazer, whatever your team photo is, and you also have a game action photo. Meaning a game action photo, meaning you have a photo of you, if you're a linebacker, you're making a tackle. If you're a defensive tackle, you're tackling the running back or making a sack on the quarterback. If you're a wide receiver, you'll be catching the ball. If you're a running back, you're running the ball. If you're a quarterback, you're throwing the ball. That's a game action photo. So that's how, and I'll put all that together. You attach the photos to the email, and that's how your package looks. I take that package, start submitting it to teams in the Champions Indoor Football League, Currently, I have a good relationship with the Billings Outlaws, with Coach Tate Brooks with the Billings Outlaws. He's defensive coordinator and head recruiting coordinator there. I have a good relationship with legendary coach Les Moss with the Arizona Wranglers, who are the IFL champions. Coach Les Moss, legendary Arena League coach. I'm talking about AFL Arena One coach, who is now coaching in the AFL, but he also coached and won in the in the AFL Arena One with the Albany Empire, and he won their last championship in 2019. But he's now with the Northern Arizona Wranglers. They won the championship last year, and I have a player there. My player, I have one player there, Nate Breeson out of Division II, Stonehill College. He's playing there. He's going to get his XFL opportunity. I also have my a great relationship with Coach Curtis Chin, the head coach, the newly crowned head coach for the Tucson Sugar Skulls in the IFL. I have two players there. One player came out of NCAA Division III, Amherst College, Big Jacob Ayoub, offensive lineman, offensive tackle out of Amherst College Division III. Plus, he has pro experience in fan-controlled football, making it all the way to the fan-controlled People's Championship last year. Oh, yeah. Plus, I had him on NBC LX on TV in an interview for the fan-controlled sports show that was coming on before the game. He was on NBC. I also have playing there Henry Kellogg. Henry Kellogg coming out of a junior college, DuPage College, which is a JUCO. He also has pro experience in fan-controlled football. Had the likes of people like Pittsburgh Still a Great Ryan Shazier commenting on him in the game. So he's going to be playing in the IFL for the Tucson Sugar Skulls. See, people, what I'm trying to explain to you is I have relationships all over the place. I also have a relationship in the NAL with my coach, Coach James Fuller, former NFL player, James Fuller. He allowed players of mine to come and play when he was in the NAL with the Maine Mammoths, Upstart Maine Mammoths. I had players playing there. I got a player playing for him this year with the Carolina Cobras. Actually, two players. I got Terrence Ames, offensive lineman out of Virginia Lynchburg. He played there last year. He'll be returning this year. I had another player that was playing there too, Shahan Williams, but I don't know if Shahan is returning back, but I'm quite sure he could if he wanted to. So Coach Jane Fuller, he takes a lot of my players. I got my vet player that I moved from Iowa Barnstormers IFL over to the NAL so he could display his coverage skills. Coach Fuller gave him an opportunity to come over there and do that. So I have the relationships, people. I'm giving you the relationships that I have to help get you to the USFL and to help get you to the doggone XFL. I also have a great relationship with my people at Hub Camp. Hub Camp is ran by Tom Brady's agent, Don Yee. Yeah, the great one's agent, the GOAT, Tom Brady, his agent, Don Yee, with Yee Dubin Sports. He runs Hub Camp. I have two great relationships there with the general manager, Mike Williams, and with the vice president of operations, Tom Goodhines. I send players to Hub Camp all the time. Here in Hub Camp is usually held here in San Diego where I live. I'm trying to tell you guys are dealing with the right person. But in order to deal with the right person, it takes money. If you want quality management, it's going to take quality money. I'm not looking for anybody. This is why I quit taking on guys that already have pro experience at whatever level. I don't take you on as a client anymore because I want young guys no more than 1 year removed out of college to where they can take advantage of my service and feel like my service done them some benefit. I don't take on vets. I take on guys freshly removed from college or guys no more than 1 year removed from college, meaning you played last year or you just got done playing this year. That's who I work with, to try to give you a professional opportunity to have a professional experience to add to your resume. And when you get done playing, You can still work within my network as I get opportunities for you, whether you want to coach, whether you want to coach, whether you want to doggone be in the front office, whether you want to be doing marketing, ticket sales, whatever you want to do, whatever your degree is, I'll work within that system. I will work within my network to find you opportunities. Again, if you want to coach, if you want to be a scout, if you want to be a assistant coach, I'll find something for you in my system. As opportunities come to me, I'll find it. If I don't have that opportunity, you still tell me you have an interest in something, I'll try to find that opportunity for you when you get done playing. So it's not just, in my system, you're not just going to play football this spring, next spring. You also have opportunity with me after you get done playing if you want to continue your sports career off the field, meaning in an administrative role, a coaching role, et cetera. To work with me, it's $2,400. That's $2,400. I can do an installment plan where you put down $1,200 down, and you take in $1,200 is due over a course of a year, in payments of $100 increments a month for the next part. So you can put down $1,200, and then the other $1,200 you can pay in increments of $100 over 12 months. That'll total $2,400. My service is a total of $2,400, $2,400 that you can make back in a season or maybe a season and a half, depending on what league you go to. I am an investment that has a return. I'm an investment that has a return. You will get a return on your investment in most cases. I'm about 85% success rate. You can get a return on investment in most cases if you follow my management, if you follow sound advice. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and close the show out. I want to encourage everybody to get your flu shots. It is cold season. Get your COVID-19 boosters. Put your face mask on in crowded spaces. Keep your hand sanitizer on you at all times. Keep your hands clean. I want to encourage everybody to be light, not darkness. Be love, not hate. There's only one race. That's the human race. I want everybody to keep a prayer wheel turning in the heart for all the people at the Turkey and Syria border, that the recovery efforts from that devastating earthquake continues and that we keep finding survivors. And I want to pray for the people and keep a prayer in your heart for the people that lost their loved ones in that devastating earthquake. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and set Black Fade off. We'll be back on Monday morning. God say the same. Have a great day. Stay safe out there. Have a good weekend. Don't forget to tune in to the XFL. Yeah. Don't forget to tune in to the XFL this Saturday and Sunday. I think they're going to be on ESPN, ABC, and whatnot. You can check your local media outlets for the coverage of the kickoff of the XFL. Support those young men still trying to fight for an opportunity to get into the NFL. With that being said, have a great day. This has been Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Have a great day. Set Black, fade all.